Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in and pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, I know.
It's the Fridays of all Fridays.
Yes, so we are starting about a half an hour late, so I apologize to everybody we are streaming to right now. There were some unforeseen tech circumstances caused by Ryan's magic fingers, which apparently pick up static and totally ruin our stream. So,
yeah.
Hello, world.
I've been tapped for the effects on the next Spider-Man movie.
Oh, really?
Jamie Foxx will be actually playing Electro, but I'll be the guy in the background going, pew, 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 pew. Not really.
Oh, man. So how has your week been, other than our crazy Friday night?
I don't remember anything about before today. It's been busy. I think I played video games on Monday, and then that's about it. Like, the rest of the week has sort of been just go to work, yeah. Do stuff, go to bed.
I played some stuff. Actually, I played Magic the Gathering. I think let's just jump right into this, because
yeah.
My brain is not going to have the brain power to go much longer than an hour tonight. So, I played Magic the Gathering, which was a card game that I was absolutely crazy into when I was a kid. Like, probably around 12 or 13. Really, really into it. Loved it. So, actually, 12 or 13 might be a little old. I think maybe I was closer to 10. Anyways, really big fan of Magic. So, when they made a video game out of it, I was like, yay! But I haven't played in, 16 years. So I picked up Magic the Gathering on one of those crazy Steam sales, and I think it was like $2 or $3. Like,
yeah.
Stupid cheap. And so I finally got around to playing it. I think I picked it up on maybe Black Friday or possibly even the summer sale, but it's been a while. And so I tried it. It was interesting. It was really, really fast and hard to keep up with. And I tried 3 times to beat the very first guy. Like, you go into the tutorial and they're literally like, push this button and then push that button. And so I'm like,
I'm kicking ass, but it's totally set up for you to win, right?
Mm.
So I tried 3 times to beat the first guy in the first level, and he beat me every time. And I was just like, I'm bad at this. And it's so hard. Like, it's really, really cool and convenient because, like, you get a deck and they kind of, there's this animation where it flashes the card up on the screen so you can see it. And you can pause at any time. Like, you can stop the timer. But it's like, the timer's really, really fast before it moves on to the next section of the game. So if you don't know that you want to stop the timer, it's almost like it runs too fast for you to get your mouse over there and then say, stop timer. And, so I don't know. It was an interesting take on Magic the Gathering, and I think if I had more time and maybe somebody to show me instead of a tutorial, it'd be really good. But, oh, man, it was hard to get into.
Do you, stop me if someone's already asked you this, but when you play this game, do you, like, go, I summon, I have something, and then slam the card down, like Yu-Gi-Oh style?
Yeah, well, I mean, I do, but, not in the game. Like, I'm just sitting here at my PC going, go, forest!
And then you're like, ah-ha-ha, but I have my trap of dispel. And then he's like, oh, no, my trap of dispel.
Yeah, I totally, completely commentate all my own Magic games.
I think the real thing to take away from this is that Ryan watched Yu-Gi-Oh! As a child, a.k.a.
That's okay,
like,
I totally did too.
6 years ago. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is the best, man.
It was the best.
Yeah.
Anyways.
What are we talking about?
Basically, it's just like an automated digital version of Magic the Gathering. There's like some cutscenes with some voiceover and stuff, and it's pretty cool, but it's basically just an animated card game. But, I mean, I'm enjoying it. I think I would like it more if I was playing against somebody as opposed to playing against the AI, because it's kind of boring.
Right.
It's like playing chess against AI. You would much rather sit across a board and play against someone, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, this is available on the iPad. I had it downloaded for a while, but never actually booted it up. It's actually free on the iPad, where you, like, buy boosters and decks and stuff.
It's a very similar concept on Steam. I think it's, like, $10 regular price, maybe? I don't even know. And then, but you can buy like the 250 booster packs and stuff. And I haven't obviously bought any of those, but I mean, sometimes they go on sale for like 50 cents on the Steam sales. So awesome. I'll definitely be waiting for one of those. But
so the only card game, I haven't gotten into Magic. I almost pulled the trigger on this game because it went on sale, like you said, a bunch of times during the winter and summer sale. But the only card game I've ever played and actually thoroughly enjoyed in a video game stance was the Pokemon trading card game. You ever play that on the Game Boy?
No.
Oh man, it was so good.
You know, it's really funny. I absolutely love what Blizzard has done with Battle Pets, which is pretty much just Pokemon in WoW, which we've already talked about. But like, I also loved the TV show when I was growing up as a kid, but I just never got into the video games. I tried them a couple times. I think I tried it on Super Nintendo. I tried it on the 64, and I just couldn't get into it. But Now I love it in WoW, and yeah, so it's weird. But no, card game, never got into.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably like a more simple version, and they only did one on the Game Boy Color, and I remember, obviously, you bought the game once, and then booster packs were sort of like purchased with in-game currency. Now, I guess that begs the question is can you purchase booster packs in-game without having to put money into it, or do you have to put money into it?
I'm fairly certain you have to put money into it, but I think you unlock better cards as you go on. And Busy Zombie Lord in the chat room is correcting me. There was no Pokemon on the SNES. I was trying to remember which Nintendo system it was that I picked it up on, so it must have been the 64. So thank you for that correction. See, this is why we have a chat room. Thank you, chat room.
Wait. You never played you never tried Pokemon in its truest, purest form on a handheld system?
No.
Well, that's your problem.
I had a handheld system. I had a hand-me-down Game Boy, I don't even know how many years after it came out, and all I played on that was, Tetris, and then, I've never really been a huge portable gamer, so I can't even think. I had a Game Boy Advance that I think I turned on once, and I only wanted it because it had a really cool Zelda thing on it. It was, it had, somebody had put, a, what do you call them, a skin.
Skin.
So they put a Zelda skin on it, and so, yeah.
Man, my Game Boy Advance was NES style. So the when you folded it down, it looked like an NES, and when you folded it up, the controller pad looked like an NES control pad. It was so badass. I think I still have it somewhere. It might be at my parents, but it's one of my favorite. I've never been one to go out and purchase a special edition console or whatever. I've always just had it from launch. Have you ever purchased there was an N64 that was a Pikachu one? I never owned it, but I thought it was the most ridiculous thing. Why would I go out and buy another N64 just so it would look like Pikachu? Have you ever purchased a special edition console or handheld?
That's usually the thing, is I already have the console by the time they're coming out with the fancy ones, or you know, the special editions or the different colors. You know, I've usually already got them. I mean, if they were to come out with some fancy schmancy PlayStation now, then I would probably pick it up because I don't already have a PlayStation.
That's a good point.
But I'm not going to go out and buy Halo 4 Xbox.
Right.
Star Wars Xbox, maybe.
The R2-D2 white one looks pretty awesome.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that because I have a PS3 Slim that I purchased halfway through the life cycle. So I don't know. I'll just harken back to the Pikachu N64 and those dark days of the N64.
So, back to what we've been playing now, as opposed to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
What have you been up to this week?
I started things off with the Fire Emblem Awakening on the 3DS. It's not out until February 4th, but they put a demo up. That's right, Nintendo is really embracing the idea of demos. Not that I needed to try this to know I would love to play it, because, I mean, you probably remember every time I talked about XCOM, I would mention Fire Emblem, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a sci-fi Fire Emblem. It's so awesome. So Fire Emblem is this grid-based strategy game. And similar to XCOM, when a character dies, it's permadeath. They're dead. They're gone. But different from XCOM gave them random names. Fire Emblem's very different. Each character is a key character, and they are a story character. Each character has a story. Some characters are more important, so if they do die, they just, like, they're basically hurt forever, and they never come back, and you can never use them in battle. But occasionally, when you have a key character and they die, they're dead. They never come back.
It's as if Mass Effect characters had permadeath.
Yeah.
Like, as if, you know, every mission you went on in Mass Effect, you could just lose all your guys and...
Yeah, it's...
That's bad.
it would result in a lot of getting to the goal, and then all of a sudden the end boss, like, kills your favorite wizard, and like, great, now I have to start the mission all over again. You know, and it's rewarding in the sense that you really feel like you're not just burning through your guys, right? It's not like an RTS where it's like, oh, I'll just summon another group of Marines. So... Mm-hmm. But the difference with this one I found in the demo is that you can actually start the game in what they're calling casual mode, but I would say is super easy mode, because basically it says, like, characters just respawn in the next mission, you know? So I'm like, well, that sort of defeats the purpose of playing Fire Emblem, because, like, the whole point of the game is to become attached to your characters and try to, you know, by trying to keep them alive, you become a better tactician. So,
right.
I thought that was interesting that they added that. I guess maybe to make it appeal to more casual gamers. But another difference is that in the story of the older games, you were always the commander, like a faceless guy. And in this one, you actually you create your character. You have, it's like an RPG where you start. You can cycle through faces and choose male or female and your voice and stuff like that. And they actually put you in the game, and it's not like you're on the sidelines. You actually get to control your person, and actually have.
So can you permadie?
Like I said, probably if you permadie, you probably
have to just restart the mission.
I would
so
think
I guess
that,
it's not really permadeath, because
yeah,
you can't go on without yourself.
That's a good point. When my avatar died, which he did die once in the demo, in the demo you get game over and you start the demo over, but I assume in the main game you'll just have to start the mission. But I did have a few characters die where one was a main character and he said, oh, I'm gonna have to sit back for this one and before I die. And then another guy who's just a random secondary character is like, man, I totally got stabbed. And then he died. And then he never came back. That's interesting. I think the avatar is just a game over state, but the other cool thing about this game is that they've added 3D rendered anime cutscenes, and it's kind of a first for portable.
I was just saying, is it like an anime style game when you're actually playing, or is it just like, what's the art style like in the actual game?
It's anime, like Japanese art.
Okay, so it fits. It's not like,
yeah, it's not like
StarCraft kind of graphics with anime.
No. And it's not like exaggerated anime. It's the Americanized anime. Trying to think of an example. Like just a serious anime. I don't know. Like not Yu-Gi-Oh, but I don't know. Samurai Jack, will say, for example, but it doesn't look at all like that. The 3D animated scenes are really cool, and they happen pretty often, and those are the secondary cutscenes, and the primary cutscenes are done in sort of in-engine, and it's all in 3D unless you're looking at the map, which is like 2D sprites and stuff, and probably going to pick it up day one, and I'm looking forward to playing it. I haven't played a Fire Emblem game in so many years, so I'm just really looking forward to picking this one up. And if it wasn't on the 3DS, I would totally recommend it to you. But unfortunately, yes, it's on the 3DS. Maybe if they have a Wii U version coming out. Oh, wait.
I still won't get it.
Maybe. You never know.
Nintendo.
I'm going to assume she's shaking her fist.
Yes.
Good.
Very I keep good. Forgetting that you can't actually see me when we do this show anymore.
And I'm going to bring it up. And I'm going to bring it up at least once every week. So there's my quota. But yeah, I mean, that's probably enough on Fire Emblem. You're still playing StarCraft 2? Still?
Oh my god, dude. I was at work yesterday.
Right.
And my job does not take a whole lot of brain power. I was sitting there and I'm like, working away, and I was just like, oh man, StarCraft, when I get home, I'm totally going to play this mission. Or maybe I should play this mission. Maybe I should go back and play that one mission where I did that thing, and I really want to just do it again, because there's achievements for every mission, which obviously I love, but it's like practically impossible to get them with one playthrough of the mission. Like, you have to go back and replay the missions to get the different achievements. Because if you go after one thing, you just can't go after the other. Like, you know, it's like perfect completion of the objectives, including all the bonus ones on hard difficulty, or, you know, do it in under 5 minutes or something crazy, you know? And like, you can't do all that. It's impossible.
I got to interject and just say that I actually hate...
Impossible for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's probably possible for someone with Uber Macro or whatever. Maybe the BlizzCast guys could do it. I don't know. No, BlizzCast. This Week in Blizz.
It's okay, I knew what you meant. Although, yes, This Week in Blizz.
Although I'm sure the BlizzCast guys could do it because they actually develop at Blizzard. But anyways, I was just going to say that I hate the way Blizzard has implemented achievements. It's like... You load up Mists of Pandaria, and it's like, oh, you have a possibility of 1,000 achievements. I'm like, well, fuck that.
Where do you even start?
Yeah, I mean, I know where to, like, at that point, it's just like, it's too overwhelming, so it's not an achievement anymore. It's like a checklist. Yes. Where, as opposed to Mass Effect 3, I have 2 achievements left to get, you know, out of the 60, you know? So, I mean...
And that feels like you've done something. You've accomplished something.
Yeah,
I totally know what you mean.
Yeah, whereas with World of Warcraft, it's like hitting / played, you know? It's like, oh, I did all that. I guess it... You know, it takes so much time that it stops being an accomplishment and more a... I should go outside. Or not outside. Outside
I have
sucks.
An add-on that I downloaded called Overachiever that... helps me kind of track what I'm close to and gives me suggestions. And
oh, cool.
I find that makes it a little bit more manageable because it throws something in my face saying, this is what you can achieve given your current level or location or whatever. And it's a small like grouping of things that you can do. And it feels a lot more achievable and manageable and meaningful than here's these 1,000 things. And most of them, you don't even know what the words mean. You know?
Right.
Or I don't.
That's a cool add-on.
I get so lost in WoW.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That sounds like a pretty neat add-on that would be very useful for sure. So you're going to get...
In terms of StarCraft, like, actually that's what Joel and I are planning on doing after the show. But, like, I love the crap out of that game. And, like, he can tell how much I like it because I came home yesterday and he was recording his show. Mm-hmm. And so I literally, like, beelined it for my room and loaded up the StarCraft
mission.
StarCraft mission. And it's the mission with the trains. And you have to, like, hijack 8 trains to try to get the whatever it is we're looking for. I can't even remember. It's some art of craft. I can't do the talking
artifact
today. Artifact. So you jump in and you have to hijack these trains, and the first train, it's basically just like, use this new unit that you get to hijack the train. And then the second one is like, oh, now they're sending marines to protect the train, and then there's marines and hellions, and then there's marines and hellions and fire bats and the train. And I was just like, and now there's bunkers. And I was just like, oh man, like, I was, like, so frustrated, and I lost, like, 3 trains in a row, and then, so, I died, well, I didn't die, but I failed the mission, and Joel had finished his podcast, and I turned off StarCraft, and I went in the living room, and I was just like, stupid StarCraft, it's not fair, the stupid Dominion has all these resources, and if it was actually a person I was playing against, there's no way that they could do that in the time allotted, like, you can't just put 10 bunkers down in like 30 seconds. You just can't. It's impossible. And I was just like so angry with life. And he's like, wow, you really love that game, don't you? I was like, yes.
You can tell when Jocelyn really likes something. It's when she hates on it for 10 minutes. I'm joking. So of course I'm joking. So you're looking forward to Heart of the Swarm then, I guess.
Oh my God, yes. I'm really hoping that I have enough time and, you know, skill to complete the campaign, because I think I really like the story and the universe, and I can't believe it took me this long to actually discover and get into Blizzard games in general, but right. StarCraft in particular. Like, I just, oh man, so much fun.
Well, I mean, when we signed the contract with AMOVE, it was sort of part of our contract, right?
Oh, it was. Yeah, kidding.
Like, Jocelyn must complete StarCraft 2.
StarCraft by March 12th.
And complete StarCraft 101 online course offered by
Garrett, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of that joke, StarCraft, have you actually looked into like what happened in StarCraft and Brood Wars? Have you kind of looked into the background?
That's the really, really cool thing about StarCraft 2 is when you're installing it on your system and loading it up for the first time, mm-hmm. it actually goes through and gives you like a voiced over version of StarCraft. So it's just like, this is what happened, and like it's not actually like cutscenes, but there's like stills from StarCraft,
right?
And it says like, these are your main characters, and this is all the background, and this is the politics, and you know, this is why you're fighting these different people. Because at first, for the last 6 or 8 months, Joel and I have been watching like StarCraft matches on YouTube, so I didn't really understand how Terran would be fighting Terran, because I'm just like, aren't we all people? Like, why in these multiplayer matches do you have Terran versus Terran? And you know, and but now I understand, because it's like, it kind of makes sense in that universe of, you know, you have like the rebel guys that go with Raynor, and you have the Dominion guys that are with Minx. So I kind of get that why you would have Terran fighting Terran.
Right.
So, and then, you know, even with Protoss, you've got the main Protoss guys, and then you have all these, like, splinter groups, and it's the same in every race, that there are these splinter groups that kind of go against what their main faction is doing, and right. that's how you get the, you know, Zerg versus Zerg, and Protoss versus Protoss, and so now, multiplayer makes a whole lot more sense to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, StarCraft is not as complex in terms of story as like the Warcraft, but it's got a pretty heavy dose of lore. And I played StarCraft way back in the day on the N64, actually. back to that, on my Pikachu N60. No, I did not own one of those. I played it on the N64, so I couldn't really remember exactly what happened. So what I did was I went onto YouTube and looked at all the old cutscenes, and really reminds you how old StarCraft is in comparison to StarCraft 2. Have you actually seen any of those cinematics?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man, you should.
Yeah.
You should go back and check them out, because they're pretty ghetto. But for their time, they were like Toy Story. They were fantastic. Maybe not Toy. Well, you know what I mean.
I was like, I don't understand. When did we cross over to movie references?
And I just
why
mean
was
like
Toy Story bad.
Like when Toy Story came out, for its time, it was amazing. But when you compare it to Toy Story 3, it looks like not as good. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Oh, I see.
Okay,
I see.
She's got it. But no, that's good. Man, you talking about StarCraft 2 just makes me want to play StarCraft 2.
Oh my god, you should totally come play StarCraft 2.
I will. Not tonight. I'm going to order pizza.
Yeah.
Just making sure she's not listening.
So, what else, have you been playing? Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah. Yes. Spartan Ops.
Because, I mean, all I have left to talk about is EA and Origin and Steam and Sims and gah. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, gah. I'm really looking forward to hearing what that is. It's like the new Lady Gaga game. Yeah. Return of Spartan Ops. Spartan Ops came back. Episode 6.
I missed them.
You missed what?
Spartan Ops.
Oh. Well, that's interesting. Have you actually been keeping up on the cinematics? I mean, they released them on YouTube, I think, like a couple days after they're released.
Not even a little.
If... Yeah. Okay, never mind. I'm not going to convince you, because you're... Yeah.
Me and Halo, we're not buds. We're button heads all the time.
No, I was just going to say that the best thing to come out of Halo 4 was those cinematics, and they do not skimp on the Spartan Ops. Like, the intro cinematic is all done in CG and looks amazing. And I should mention that the Return of Spartan Ops 7, episodes 6 through 10, free download for gold users, and it clocked in at 2.2 gigabytes, which is great. A lot of people are probably complaining, why do I have to download all this stuff for my game, you know, a couple months after launch? But don't complain, because before you were complaining that episodes 1 through 5 were all rehashed content. They were either multiplayer levels or single player levels, and they were boring. They were all like, I've done this. And even in Spartan Ops episodes 1-5, you were playing through the same levels over and over again. Like, there'd be a mission that took you to the desert level like 6 times. It was ridiculous. So that's where episode 6 comes in. All new content. Never been there before.
Quickly, are they doing 1-10? Like, how many episodes are there going to be? Are they just going to keep going with this?
It's 10 episodes for season 1. A lot of people are saying that because they called it season 1 and not just Spartan Ops for Halo 4, that they will have a season 2. And I mean, to me, it makes perfect sense to have a season 2 because that totally bridges the gap between Halo 4 and 5. You know, why make us wait 3 years with no Halo when they can shove more Halo down our throat? I love that
we are going to get a remake of Halo 2 out of 343 in the intro. Yeah. Because, I mean, the 10th anniversary of Halo 2 is coming up, right? So why would they redo the original Halo and not Halo 2? Because, like, everybody is going to go buy new Halo 2, right? Especially if you get multiplayer back?
Yeah.
Oh, I keep forgetting you can't see my face. I'm making a face.
Mac? I just assume we're talking about Halo, so I just... like a disgruntled person at a bank that's disgruntled.
Disgruntled bank face.
Disgruntled bank face. Why are you not open on Sundays? Or late on Friday? Oh, wait, you were late on Friday. Yeah, episode 6 just feels fresh. It's all new content. Now, that being said, this is just my opinion of episode 6. 7-10 could totally just rehash all the levels that were in 6. So, and that's the thing, is that journalists were saying that the return of Spartan Ops, it's back and it's better than ever, but that's just episode 6. So I'm being cautiously optimistic here and saying that Spartan Ops is back, but we'll see what 7-10 brings us, because it could just be more of what we saw in 6. But for 2.2 gigabytes of data, that's a lot.
Sorry, I've totally not been keeping up on Halo 4 news at all. I have vaguely heard of this Spartan Ops, right, but I'm not actually paying attention. So how often did they come out? Because if the game just came out in November and they're already on 6, it's got to be once every, what, like 2 weeks?
Episodes 1-5 started the week of Halo 4 and went until early December, and then they took a hiatus, like a mid-season break.
Oh, okay.
Which is neat because they super treat this like a TV show. Which makes me think they'll have a season 2 starting next November. Because there's a previously on. Like, it's like Lost, like previously on Spartan Ops. And it shows clips from episode 1-5.
The Walking Dead did the same thing.
Yeah, and I mean, again, just like The Walking Dead, like you said, it's phenomenal. And it really just... what?
Oh, this is so funny. As soon as I say The Walking Dead, you just get this whole, like, oh my god, thing going on. I'm just like, yeah, I didn't mean that as a good thing.
No. What? No, you made a good point. It was a good thing. Maybe The Walking Dead wasn't great, but all I'm saying is that... I lost my train of thought, but...
sorry.
The best part about Spartan Ops has always been the CG stuff, and... which kind of makes me say, like, if you're at all interested in Halo 4 but not interested in playing these little multiplayer missions, just go watch the YouTube videos. All the story is in the YouTube videos, in the intros. The stuff that's in the missions is kind of like, it's cool, but it's not really super story driven, which is why I was so confused, because I don't remember anything that happened in episodes 1-5 except for the stuff that was in the CG. So I apologize to the people who spent hard-earned time and money on making these things, but I'm just a bad consumer. I don't know.
So you have a quick mention of KOA.
Yeah. Are
you back to that?
Yeah. I've been running with it. I've been running on the treadmill playing Kingdoms of Amalur, and I'm gonna agree with you. That game looks like crap. Looks so bad. The way the faces animate, I feel like I've been living with Joel for the last year. It's just like, you see them talk and it's like...
He ruins things for you, doesn't he?
it's just, and the eyes are like, like goldfish eyes. It's just, it's creepy. But that being said, it's perfect for what I'm using it for. I'm convinced now that I could never sit down and play it for 40 hours. But being on the treadmill, it kind of requires a stupid button mashing game. And there's so much story in that game, and I am actually vaguely interested in what's going on, and listening to what everyone has to say, minus the people who sound like who hired these people to do voiceover. Like, there's not, you know, usually when a game gets made, it's like featuring the voices of Jack Black and Tom. Those are bad examples.
Were you gonna say Jack Black and Tom Hanks? Because it's an interesting combination.
Tom Hardy. I don't know. Tom Hanks would have been better. But you know what I mean? Like, they're like pushing these big names, but there's nobody in Kingdoms of Amalur. Like, nobody. And again, I apologize if there's any voice actors who were in Kingdoms of Amalur.
If anyone's actually a big deal.
I'm sorry, but like, so far, I just, no. And but like I said, it's perfect for what I'm using it for, but I agree with you.
Wow.
Internet high five.
Like, write down the date and time, because this is when the universe starts to implode.
What? No, I want to play Bioshock Infinite.
I know.
But we'll agree again.
I can't wait. Oh, man. That's going to be fantastic. Mm. Anyways, so I think we can pretty much wrap up the what we're playing with a very quick update on my whole EA Origin Steam Sim saga. Because it's just turning into such a huge thing. So, we all know how Origin and EA like to do this to your gaming experience. So, Steam had a sale.
Right.
And so I've got The Sims 3 installed on my system now. Yay. But I couldn't register it with Steam, and I couldn't figure out why it wasn't showing up in, like, I tried using my Sims 3 serial code. Didn't work. So I was like, okay, maybe I have to do it differently, because they have an add a game feature, but it's not an actual product code thing. Basically, you just say, yes, I have this game. And so what it does is it goes into your programs, pulls out your programs, and says, do you want to add these to Steam? So you can add like Photoshop or, you know, anything, right?
Right.
So that's fine. I tried doing that, didn't work. So I wrote Steam a ticket, and I was just like, okay, I'm trying to do this, it's not working. You know, like, I checked my install of Sims, everything's working fine. Steam writes me back, and they're like, yeah, no, you actually can't do that with the Origin title. You can purchase the original game through us, and then it will show up in your Steam library, but you can't tell us that you already have that game. So therefore, I can't purchase any DLC for Origin for The Sims through Steam. I was just like, god damn it, I own the goddamn game, just let me play my stupid game.
Oh my god.
It would, like I said, it was pulling up everything. It was pulling up Notepad++. Do you want to add this to Steam? I'm like, no.
Weird.
But it wouldn't pull up a Sims 3 title because of whatever stupid origin, stupid reason. Steam's just like, yeah, sorry, if you don't actually buy it through us, then we can't say that you own the game. I was just like, wow, unbelievable.
Right. Well, then, I mean, yeah.
It just means I have to buy expansions through Origin, but it's just like, it's such a pain because, like, the expansion that I wanted was on for $13 on Steam. It's $40 on Origin. Huge differences.
Does Origin even have sales?
They have sales every once in a while, but they're really like few and far between. And the most I've ever seen a $40 expansion on for was like $20. Which, you know, it's still awesome because, you know, it's half price. And the Sims content, like I said, I wrote an article for Doghouse this last week. Actually just got published today. And I was talking about DLC and expansion packs and how, you know, the Sims content is worth $40. Like, they put so much into that. But I have a very tiny budget right now, and I can't afford $40 every time they put out an expansion, which is actually fairly often now. I'm really impressed with them lately. But, like, EA is just awful. And I had another really crappy experience with EA today is, when I signed up for the SimCity beta, which just opened up today, I signed up with my old computer because I didn't have my new one yet. So I was trying to find out, and I've tried to contact them through Facebook, through Twitter, through email, everything, except for the stupid live chat, because I refuse to go back in that live chat.
Yeah.
To ask them if there's a way to resubmit my system specs, because obviously now my system is through the roof. It's freaking awesome. Like,
yeah.
So it's a doghouse.
Doghouse.
So all the Twitter was doing, and it was my final straw with EA today, but all the SimCity Twitter account was doing was retweeting how much people loved the beta. And I was just like, okay, clearly there's someone there doing something. All you have to do is be like, oh, sorry, you know, not the best way to contact us. Try blah, you know, or here's the solution to your problem. Link. Like, you're doing it so wrong.
Weird. You know what's funny? EA Twitter support, or Twitter in general, sort of sounds like government Twitter. You're not allowed to respond to the negative comments. You're only allowed to respond to the
negative comments.
But you know what I mean? It's like, if it's going to result in a flame war, don't touch it.
Well, so, all I wanted was I just wanted a quick answer. And like I said, I've tried to get an answer out of EA and SimCity in multiple different venues, and it just hasn't worked.
Yeah.
So this was kind of they were tweeting about the beta. So I was like, hey, I have a beta question. And I had other people who work for EA responding to me, and they were just like, oh, well, if there's a way, this is a really good idea. I'm like, no shit, buddy. That's why I'm trying to resubmit my system specs. Like,
right. So
I know it's a good idea. Please tell me how.
Yeah. Did you get into the beta, I guess, is the next question?
Not yet.
I haven't got in yet.
They are sending keys all weekend, apparently. So Swift got one. Swift
really?
Is in the beta. Yeah. So is Ralphie, who is also in our chat room, I believe. Hi, Ralphie.
The hell?
Yeah.
I don't even, you know what, to be honest, if we're doing some EA hate here, I don't even know if I actually got in, like, even was able to apply to the beta, because I kept getting weird origin errors, and I was eventually like, fuck this. So, and then I was going to resubmit this week, and I left it too late. Like, they closed beta applications, I think, Wednesday, and I finally got around to it yesterday. So...
yeah, so I don't really know what's going to happen with all of that, but my, like, I am so excited for SimCity. I love SimCity, but I'm just like, I don't even know if I'm going to buy it now, because I've just had it with EA and Origin. Just had it. Like,
yeah.
Ugh.
Well, when's it out? March something?
March 12th. No, that's Heart of the Swarm. But it is March something.
Oh my god, March is such a... super busy. You got Tomb Raider, SimCity, Heart of the Swarm, Bioshock Infinite. I'm missing another
Bioshock
one.
Infinite is actually February 26th.
Didn't it get delayed to March?
Did it?
Yeah.
Aww.
All right. This is the last straw. Podcast ended. After everything that's gone
everything.
Out. I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on that, I could have sworn it got delayed to March, but February 26th is close enough, I suppose, to March.
Oh, I guess.
Oh, my God.
Anyways.
Yeah.
That brings me to our super exciting, happy, fun news.
Thank
we
God.
Have a giveaway to tell you about, which is the most awesome thing ever. I am so excited about this. So, Doghouse Systems is pairing up with Punished Props, so... Bill Doran is building a Kerrigan rifle to give away to one lucky Doghouse customer. So if you use the code Kerrigan in conjunction with the code TheGamersIn, you will double your RAM as per usual, but you will also be entered for a chance to win the $1,200 value rifle. Oh my god. So, oh wait, I have pictures. Here we go. Pictures.
Ooh.
So it's the rifle from StarCraft, I believe. It's from the betrayal scene. So since I didn't play StarCraft, I'm not 100% up on my whole StarCraft lore thing. But I believe it's when she's left to die, basically, on the planet that's infested with the Zerg, when they kidnap her.
Yeah, she gets fucked up.
She does. So, Bill is building the rifle. It's a $1,200 value. So, we're actually going to have him on the show to talk all things video game cosplay later on in the contest window, probably March 1st. So stay tuned for that because it's going to be so much fun because I've always wanted to talk to him about cosplay and how he got into what he does and like the stuff he builds is so fantastic. So the only way to be entered in the draw is to submit your purchase to Doghouse using the code Kerrigan by March 12th, which is the launch of Heart of the Swarm, and that will be considered a valid entry. So head on over to doghousesystems.com to get your order on. Big thanks to Doghouse for their continued support of our show. Mm-hmm. Quick news!
American McGee kind of apologizes. Early this week, the developer behind Alice Madness Returns said EA wanted to trick people into perceiving the game as a hardcore horror. Trailers, which were created by an outside marketing company, focused on the blood and guts that just weren't in the game. Now, McGee has apologized and reworded his statement, now saying Electronic Arts doesn't trick customers into buying things. They carefully apply proven marketing techniques to achieve the desired customer response. Sort of sounds like a long way to say trick people.
The new StarCraft replay feature is badass. New features were added to StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm beta last night, including a really freaking awesome replay feature. You can now recover a dropped game from the replay, but even more awesome is the feature called Take Command. So using this feature, you can take any replay and jump in with a friend at any point to play from there. This means that if you want to, you can jump into a pro player's game and take over command of their team at any time. Talk about the best way to learn StarCraft ever. I am so psyched for March 12th.
We all are. Here's another March game. Gears of War Judgment ships with bonus. If you purchase a new copy of Judgment on or around the launch day of March 19th, you will also receive a download code for the original Gears of War. That's a $20 value, but it's also a six-year-old game. It's crazy that it costs $20. Anyway, it's a cool little bonus for those who haven't played the whole series. These sort of bonuses have mostly been used by big retailers like Walmart that offer free copies of the previous title with select sequels like Batman Arkham City and Arkham Asylum.
Ouya is changing their controller. Ouya seems to be keeping their promise by working with developers to make the best open source console possible. The latest updates are a number of changes to the controller, including the addition of a cross-shaped D-pad, which until now was almost a flat disc. Other changes are a more sensitive touchpad and triggers that hug the body of the controller better. Everyone is eager to see what else they'll do, given the original projected release date was early 2013. Just now!
Oh, the future. Speaking of controllers, Logitech is pulling out of game accessories. Which is fitting, because we just talked about this last week. Bracken Darrell, CEO of Logitech, is blaming the continued weakness in the global PC market as the primary factor in the company's disappointing Q3 results. To address this, Logitech will discontinue manufacturing of speaker docks and console gaming peripherals. Please console me. I need some consoling.
You're just so upset about this news.
Logitech, man. Tearing up here. Gaming peripherals by end of 2013. That being said, Logitech will continue to sustain its leadership in PC platform-related products like mice, keyboards, and webcams, which, if you listened last week, is exactly what I recommend you buy from Logitech and buy your controller from Microsoft.
SimCity is for everyone, even the colorblind. The developers over at SimCity have included a super cool feature, which for you colorblind gamers out there, which may be... Wait, hang on. Jocelyn does words. They have these things, they're called filters, and you put them over top of your gameplay, and then you can have things like sepia tones, which is, you know, kind of cool, you know. But what they did do is they made 3 out of the 18 filters are designed to help the 3 most common types of colorblind people play the game. The only one that I really know about is, well, I guess 2, the whole red-green thing where you switch them up, and then the whole you can't see any color at all. So I don't know what the third one is, but basically they are filters with textures applied over top of the gameplay that helps you distinguish between things like industrial and residential zones, which, for those who don't play SimCity, are yellow and green. March can't come fast enough.
No. March must wait. That was the most Bruno freak news ever. March must wait. Let's get through February first, okay? Biden wants the facts, and he's going to get them. Vice President Biden of the United States of America has been put on a quest by Mr. Obama to find out how to better control guns. Obviously, part of that quest involves video games. On the topic of doing the research, Biden had this to say. Part of the interest group population out there are afraid of facts. Let the facts lead where they will. Let the research be done. That's one of the things the president and I believe very strongly. Let the facts work, including with regard to the entertainment industry. There's no hard data as to whether or not these excessively violent video games in fact cause people to engage in behavior that is antisocial, including using guns. Did I mention facts? On a related note, California Senator Leland Yee, otherwise known as Crazy, whose much-publicized violent game law was struck down by the Supreme Court in 2011, said this: "Gamers have got to just quiet down. Gamers have no credibility in this argument. This is all about their lust for violence and the industry's lust for money. This is a billion-dollar industry. This is about their self-interest. Does that not sound crazy?" He should listen to what he says before he says it.
Online pre-orders of Ni No Kuni were oversold. The PS3 RPG, which explains why I had not heard about it till this week, came out on Tuesday, and a lot of fans who pre-ordered the Wizard Edition from Namco's online store were sorely disappointed. Apparently, the Wizard Edition sold out long before Digital River, who was the go-between, updated the website to reflect the lack of stock. As a result, many people never received a shipment or had their orders outright canceled. Talk about poor customer service and communication. We will keep you updated as this story develops. Which brings us to our topic of the week, and this week we're actually going back to how we used to do the topic of the week way back in the day, and we actually have a couple of news stories that we thought merited a little bit more conversation than just quickfire. So
yeah,
we've got the THQ bankruptcy, which I think we're going to talk about first because we don't want to end the show on a bit of a downer. And then we're going to talk everything that Nintendo announced. So, Ryan, yeah, I was really, really bad this week and didn't actually do any research. So do you want to give the overview of what's going on at THQ?
That's fine. THQ is gone. They do not exist anymore, unfortunately. They had that whole plan to sell off the company to a single backer and then basically start off debt-free, but the creditors actually ended up getting more money by selling things, like just splitting everything apart.
Yeah.
Which sucks, but is also good because a majority of the studios owned by THQ were picked up by other publishers. First off, you want me to go down the list here?
Yeah.
Okay. You got Sega. Purchased Relic for $26.6 million.
That's a good chunk of change.
Yeah, and people like Sega, what are they doing? And you got to remember, Sega is big.
What have you been up to, Sega? We haven't heard from you in a while.
All those Sonic games suck. Sega is big in the PC market with the Creative Assembly, the guys who make and gals for that matter. Total War, the Total War series. Is that familiar to you at all? Okay. Yeah. So this makes pretty good sense here for them to pick up Relic, and they actually beat out ZeniMax by $0.3 million. And ZeniMax is, of course, the guys who own Bethesda.
Yes. So I noticed that they had backup bids. So does that mean that if the Sega deal falls through, that it will go to ZeniMax?
I think it's just highest bidder. Now, I know most of these companies have made statements on their purchases, so they are for sure locked in. Sega now owns Relic, and it's a good fit. And again, like I said, like most of these companies getting purchased will just continue onwards under a new publisher, maybe even given more resources because they actually have a publisher with money now. So that's good. I'm sorry, THQ, but
it sucks.
They came so close, and this is probably the best outcome they could get. Coke Media. I don't want to say the other thing. I think it says Coke Media. Anyways, we'll purchase Volition, which are the guys behind Saints Row, and Metro Last Light, and they picked those up for $22.3 million and $5.9 million respectively. And that is just for the studio and Saints Row. Doesn't include Armageddon, I think, or Red Faction for that matter. So there's a lot of weird shit going on with this deal. Some of these deals just include the studio. Also, they include like intellectual properties, but some don't include, like, for example, with this Volition deal, I believe it's not including the Red Faction series, which is also made by Volition. And all the extra stuff will be sold off in the next couple weeks in a separate auction.
I've got to say, one thing that I know didn't get picked up is mm-hmm. Vigil. And yeah. that makes me so sad because, I mean, like, I played Darksiders 2 for probably like a week and a half, but a lot.
Yeah.
When it first came out, and then just other things came up, and I moved away from it. But it was a good game. I really liked where they were going with it. They made some huge changes between Darksiders and Darksiders 2 to everything, to the menus, the mechanics, the loot, like everything. It went from like this smash 'em up type game to almost like an RPG. And they still had, because it's based on, for those of you who don't know, Darksiders, the series is based on the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. So Darksiders 1 follows war. Darksiders 2 follows death, which means they still had two more horsemen. So I really thought we were going to get two more solid games. And it seemed like they had a lot of story to tell in that universe. It wasn't just like a one-off. And I liked what they did with war and death and how Darksiders 1 and 2 were actually taking place at the same time as each other. I thought that was really interesting. So it's like you were getting the same story, but from two different perspectives and like, all the events are happening at the same time, you know? So, I really liked the Darksiders universe. I'm really sad that Vigil hasn't been picked up by anyone.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not the end of the line for Vigil as a company in the Darksiders franchise, but as of, I think, yesterday, all Vigil employees have been terminated. Like, they're gone, which sucks. And to recover from that, it's sort of on par with what happened with 38 Studios. Like, you kind of have projects still hanging, but nobody to work on them.
Yeah.
And this whole mess brought that back up for me, just remembering that. And it's been
the whole,
it's been how long? It's been like 8 months since it happened, and they still have not announced who bought that friggin' MMO.
Yeah.
If anybody has, I like, it boggles my mind. But, there's been talk on Twitter. The guy who is a director, I think, at Platinum Games, which is a Japanese developer, expressed interest in bidding on Vigil. Now, that's not for sure, but I think a Darksiders game developed alongside Platinum Games would be fantastic. They make... have you ever heard of Bayonetta?
Yes.
Yeah, well, they made Bayonetta, and I think that quirkiness mixed in with Darksiders would be quite entertaining, seeing as one of the horsemen's is a female, and I think they could basically make a Darksiders Bayonetta game.
Yeah. And I can't even – I'm so tired right now, totally blanking on what the actual horsemen are, but there's – is it famine?
Death?
And there's war, death.
Pestilence?
Pestilence?
Is that the same as famine?
I can't remember.
Oh, if only we so had this bad. Internet thing. Ugh. Death, war.
Come on, chat room.
Famine.
We need the other two horsemen. Quick. Chop, chop.
Greed?
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I can't remember off the top of my head. But
yeah, neither can I. It doesn't matter because, I guess.
It's probably never going to happen anyway.
Yeah, unfortunately. Out of all of this, that was the most depressing. And a lot of people are saying that it has to do with the fact that Vigil just shipped a game and they had two in pre-production, and that's a huge risk for a new publisher to take on, and they wouldn't have even gone for that much money. I mean, looking down the list, like the other one that got sold, which had two games in pre-production, was THQ Montreal for $2.5 million, and Ubisoft picked them up, which is funny because the guy who worked who made the Assassin's Creed titles left Ubisoft to go work for THQ at THQ Montreal, and now Ubisoft has purchased them back, just dragging him back. And maybe they'll put him on Assassin's Creed 4 and make it a good game. Who knows? Maybe if they're smart, they will. So that's good. They also picked up South Park for $3.3 million, but I think that's just like a publishing deal.
I know. I'm so glad that didn't somehow tank and then not come out, because that would have been really, really, really bad. I would have been sad because I can't wait to play. Like, I absolutely love the South Park universe. I think it's so fun. Just their sense of humor. I mean, sometimes they go too far. There's a whole lot of, like, toilet bodily fluid type jokes and stuff that doesn't go over my head, or it goes way under my head, I guess. Like, I could do without all of that humor in South Park, but I think their political commentary is really, really funny, and they're funny, witty guys, so
yeah.
I think Stick of Truth is going to be really good.
Well, we discussed this. I mean, anything that involves the butt in South Park just doesn't fly with me, or you for that matter, but it's just funny because the guy, Viacom, the company funding the game, has actually objected to this sale because they said that if THQ went down, they should get publishing rights, you know, and have the right to kind of figure out a publishing deal. But they went ahead and sold it anyway, so we'll see what happens there.
Just quickly, I'm going to jump in here because the chat room helped us. Yay! So thank you, Wixie Gaming.
Wicked C.
He says that the official four horsemen of the apocalypse are Conquest, War, Famine, and Death. So we've already seen War and Death, and in the Darksiders universe, they are War, Death, Fury, and Strife. I'm pretty sure Fury is the woman.
They actually had concept art for every one of them when Darksiders was released, and they surprisingly kept pretty close to Death in the sequel. So,
oh, I'm being corrected. It's D Commander One. Sorry.
D Commander One. Oh, well, then he should. Oh, okay. Yeah, Darksiders. That sucks. But a couple others here. Take Two picked up Turtle Rock's game for $10.9 million. And Turtle Rock are the guys behind Left 4 Dead. And then finally, Crytek picked up the rights to Homefront for $500,000. And that's actually quite fitting because Crytek was actually developing Homefront 2. So they probably just, yeah, we'll pick this up and find a publisher for it or self-publish it and make more money. But it's sad to see a company kind of...
And THQ's been around for, what is it, 20 years?
20 plus years. I mean, ever since I've been paying attention to the game industry, they've been there, so...
Yeah, that's really too bad. I mean, 38 was unfortunate because I really thought that they could have done a really good thing with the MMO world, because you could kind of tell that they rushed Amalur out just to be a precursor, just to make some money, you know, like it really didn't feel like it was ready. But I feel like 7 years of work on an MMO could have been fantastic. So that was unfortunate. But it was kind of just like, well, seemed to be mismanaged, you know, stuff could have been done very differently, and that whole thing sucks. But they weren't a pillar of the video game industry the way that THQ was. They hadn't been around forever, you know. I don't know. It's upsetting news.
Yeah, and I mean, the crazy part is that some of these games, like South Park and, speaking of March, South Park and both Relics, Company of Heroes 2, were expected in March. So they haven't really made a public statement as to what's going on with that, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see maybe a month delay just to kind of make the switch final.
Sort everything out, yeah.
So, but now, fair enough.
So let's move on to much better, happier news that I think Ryan is just going to do a dance for us right now. Or maybe just sit there and look like a seal. I don't know.
This is why I bought a Wii U. Arf, arf, arf. No, I'm just kidding.
So, yes, we have some Nintendo announcements. So the thing that I heard the most about was the remake of The Wind Waker. And I meant to have screenshots because there's actually an article that I was looking at that had comparison shots of original Wind Waker with the remake. And they are actually fully going in and redoing the environments and the characters and skins and every textures, all of it. So, yay.
You didn't like Wind Waker's art styles, and I don't think this...
I didn't, but I think it looks way better this time.
You think it looks way better? Okay.
It's almost updated to fit what Skyward Sword kind of looked like, to me anyways. Like, it's a...
What Skyward Sword should have looked like.
Well, yes. Yeah, should have looked like.
Because I will agree with you there, because that, when I saw those screenshots, I was blown away, because I that's coming from a person who enjoyed the Wind Waker. And I think Wind Waker is the only title you can play and still say, like, this art style holds up. Because all the other ones are just, they looked good for their time, but they don't really hold up.
I don't really know. Wind Waker was okay. It wasn't my favorite Zelda title. I know that there are a lot of people that disagree with me on that, but I feel like Wind Waker was very polarizing in Zelda fandom.
Yes.
Because it was such a departure from Majora's Mask and from Ocarina of Time. And then, I mean, well, you know, previous Zeldas you can't really compare in graphics because obviously. But, you know, in terms of the two titles that came before it, it was a totally different style. It was cartoony. It was, you know, when you killed things, they exploded in these swirlies of smoke.
Which is going to look phenomenal, by the way, this fall on the Wii U. Everyone should own one. No, I'm kidding.
You're trying to drive sales there, aren't you, bud?
No, I'm just... It's a remake, and a lot of people will be like, yes, so what? It's a remake. But Iwata even said, like, this game is for the hardcore Zelda fans who want a Zelda game now. And I really, really appreciate Nintendo doing this because we're going to have to wait 3 years for a new Zelda game. And the Wii U is not even a year old, and we're getting a Zelda game that's never been remade, never been re-released, and is... It's got to be... getting on 10 years.
It's another remake.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like they're pushing, like, why are they remaking Zelda games when they could be pushing the new Zelda?
Because New Zelda takes so long to make. I see the point you're making.
They're Nintendo. Hire more people.
I know. I agree with you.
Everyone at THQ's unemployed.
Oh. Hire Vigil to make the new Zelda. That'd be pretty fantastic, if you ask me. Although some would argue that they've already made the new Zelda twice. Remakes. Yeah, I agree. At the end of the day, it's exciting, but not what we all wanted. And we could all complain until the cows come home. But Nintendo actually did talk about their new Zelda, and they said two really interesting things. And you're right, kind of. They didn't show anything. We don't even know if we'll see something at E3, but they talked about it's going to have a visual style that we've never seen before. I couldn't begin to imagine what that could be like, but Nintendo sometimes over-exaggerates. But they've also said that they're rethinking how the progression of Zelda. So I think they are... One could look at those words and think they are addressing the issues you and John had with the series.
I really hope so. I hope they listened to that episode of The Gamers In, and they're just, I believe it was episode 15, but I'm going to double check because I really want to know. Yes, episode 15 was our Zelda episode. So anyone who hasn't listened to it, I really suggest that you go back into our archives and listen to episode 15 because we had John Marstall and he was fantastic. Yeah. He's, like me, huge Zelda fan back in the day, and just they've kind of lost us in the more recent franchises. And there's some really good points, and not just good points as in like comments on the game that they've put out. But I think we had some real constructive criticism that, you know, kind of where we want the franchise to go and what we would like to see and some of the big problems with what they've done lately. So if they're going to fix the fact that I feel like I'm a 5-year-old with my hand getting held, that would make me go buy a Wii U and that would make me go play the next Zelda. Like, that's what I want. Zelda's my favorite franchise of all time. See? Zelda! You know, like, I just... Oh, yeah, you can't see. I'm wearing my Zelda t-shirt. It says, good things come to those who break clay pots.
Oh.
So, I just, you know, like, I want to see them succeed, and I would buy... Well, I bought the GameCube strictly to play Wind Waker. So, it's a thing that I do, is I buy the Nintendo consoles to play the Zelda titles. So...
Right. Well, you know what?
Fix that.
What we'll do is, I'll buy it, and I'll stream it. then you can kind of watch it and see whether it addresses your concerns, or, you know, because I mean, I would even say, like, read the review, then buy it. But then again, if you read IGN's review of Skyward Sword, it was the best Zelda game ever made.
it got 10 out of 10s, and I don't understand how a title like that can get 10 out of 10s. Like, yeah. Like I said, I think they'd grade Nintendo on a curve, and I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, the, IGN, they employ some Nintendo fanboys there. I sometimes feel as though I'm on their review team. they're great. But yeah. I think they add a couple points. And anyways,
but I mean, yeah, a new Zelda is awesome, and I'm glad that they're doing something. I wish that they had come forward with a little bit more information. Like, I was hoping that they would be further along. Like, we all knew that we weren't going to get a new Zelda for the release of the Wii U. That was a given. But I was hoping that they would have something at least really concrete to show us at E3 to say, this is coming, it's going to be released, you know, at the most. I was hoping for Nintendo, or Nintendo 2014, November 2014 was like, as, you know, a year and a bit away. Because obviously they're not going to release this November with a new Zelda. But, you know, I thought November 2014 at the absolute outside. So,
I think we see concept art at E3. I don't think we'll see any. It's similar to how they announced Skyward Sword. They talked about it in general, and then at E3, they kind of, Shigeru Miyamoto at a meeting kind of made sure no one was looking and slid a piece of concept art to the journalist at IGN. so I think we'll see a concept art kind of showcasing the look, but maybe a couple more details. But I don't think we'll see anything concrete.
Well, sucks. we can always hope.
You should just keep not buying a Wii U. It's like every day, is there new Zelda information?
Maybe that'll
push them. No, I'm not going to buy a Wii U.
Jocelyn's not buying a Wii U. We need to get Zelda out faster so that she'll go buy it.
Only one of two Gamers In hosts have purchased a Wii U. What are we going to do?
It's the end of the world as we know it.
It's the end. Oh, shouldn't say anymore, because then we'll have to pay rights. anyway, Zelda. So, also we got here, this is exciting. These are games probably coming out in 2013, except for Smash Brothers. But we get a new 3D Mario from the Galaxy team, which I am super pumped about. That's I cannot wait to see that. Mario Kart, standard affair, I'll buy it. I love it. Yeah, Mario Kart's great. But Smash Brothers on 3DS and Wii U will probably see, they said screenshots, and then the director said you'll see more than screenshots, so probably a trailer of some kind. I'm not expecting that for 2013. Maybe probably March 2014, because March is the greatest month ever.
Apparently.
I mean, it's my birthday month, so I don't blame them.
I didn't know. I don't think I knew that. Did I know that?
Maybe. It's been a year.
I'm bad with dates. Don't take it personally.
I'm bad with dates too. No, who's good at dates? Not guys, I can tell you that much. But yeah, I'm really excited for a new 3D Mario. You were a big fan of the Galaxy games, right? That you played.
I was a big fan of Galaxy. I was a big fan of Mario Kart. I just find that in general, Mario games aren't enough to make me buy a new console. But if I already have the console, then I go out and buy them pretty much right away. Yeah. So,
all right. Well, I mean, fair enough. It's Zelda or bust for you, correct?
It really, really is. Right. I need a Zelda game to go buy a console, that's for sure.
I don't blame
you. And the last thing that they announced is the virtual console for the Wii U. So I can get Zelda games. They're just all the old ones.
Yeah. The unfortunate part about this, and I thought I was excited when it started, but then people started to pick it apart. The virtual console was on the Wii for its entire lifespan. Five, 6 years, and they built up a pretty big catalog. The virtual console on the Wii U is basically being reset, and they're starting with NES, Super NES, and Game Boy Advance, as opposed to what the Wii offers with those, plus N64, Sega Genesis, Sega blah, 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 all the extra ones. Yeah. Which sucks, because I don't want to be like, when's Super Mario RPG coming out, because I want it on my Wii U, you know?
Yeah. So I have a question for you.
Yeah, shoot.
With the virtual console, because again, I didn't read a lot of the Nintendo news, is once they kind of port everything over to the Wii U, is there going to be like a proof of purchase kind of thing. Like, so I've already purchased a lot of old Nintendo titles on my Wii. Right. So if I buy a Wii U and somehow log in or tie them together, can I say I own these on the Wii? I want to play them on the Wii U.
Yes, but you're not going to like this. You can.
Do I have to do it through Origin?
No. Actually, that's funny because Origin almost was the Nintendo network for the Wii U, and it fell through, thank the gods. But
yeah.
When you use the Wii U, you can set up what's called Wii Mode and transfer all the contents from your Wii to the Wii U. You'll be able to do that, but in this instance, you'll be able to transfer all your virtual console games that have been released on the Wii U from your Wii Mode to the Wii U. And basically what that means is you're just transferring a license, and it's going to cost you $1 for NES games and $1.50 for Super NES games.
It's going to cost me money?
Yeah, because... No,
I
just
don't know how I feel about that. At first I was like, yeah, you know, it's a bit. It sounds like a bit of a process, but no big deal. It cost me money?
If I had nothing to back it up with, I'd be able to say, yeah, it sucks. But you can actually start buying virtual console games. They're doing what's called virtual console trial, and they're releasing a new game every month. And each of those games costs 30 cents. And I bought Balloon Fight for 30 cents, and that's the only amount of money I would ever pay for Balloon Fight because that game is old. Nice. But it gives you an idea of how virtual console is going to work, off TV gameplay and fully customizable controller or controls. So you can go in and say, like, I want this button to be the A button. And for like power gamers, that's a pretty good feature. But I think the biggest feature is the off TV gameplay. Is it worth $1 or $1.50? We'll see. But yeah.
Well, I look forward to hearing about it once they launch some more titles and you get really into it. So I think that pretty much, because we know you're going to.
I enjoy things. Okay, you can go.
You buy games that you never have any intention of playing or that you really, really hope that you're going to play and then you just never get around to. So I'm fully expecting you to buy the entire Wii U Virtual Console library and then never touch a thing.
I buy my favorites from that I played as a child, but you're right. I'll play them for 20 minutes and I'm like, I remember this! And then never touch it again.
Yeah. So, if you want to tell us about all of your favorite Nintendo games, you can send us some feedback by visiting us on the web at gamersandpodcast.com, where you can find our live feed, our live chat, and our forums. You can also email us at info@gamersandpodcast.com. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find us on Facebook and on Google+. And don't forget to leave us an iTunes review, as it's the best way for our show to reach new listeners. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCost Online, who drew our Twitter avatars and created our logo. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan, or read his comic at StarCostOnline.com. Shut up, Ryan.
You made it.
Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week.
Stupid guy at work who refuses to take sick days is having a conversation with me at my office, and I can feel the germs touching my innards, and it's inappropriate and I don't like it.
Oh.
That's probably the worst way I could have described myself.
That was awful.